you follow? Amen. Amen. The calling. You answer to His calling. Amen. And His election. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. See, the Lord knows where we're going, where we're coming from. Anyway. See, my care had to sing that song because I'm going back to Matthew 19:28. Do you know what it says? Let's go and take a look at it. The people that were here this weekend, they know what it says. But I want you to look at it. Just give me a minute. This thing is acting up here. Let's see if I can open this. All right. 28. No, Matthew 19:28. I got the dyslexia. Sometimes I turn the things around. All right. Let me put my glasses on. You had a good time this weekend? Not you guys local, you guys that came back. I know you had a good time. Okay, it says 19, if I'm in the right place. No, I'm not in the right place. Not yet. I'm a slow, but when I take off, you won't be able to catch me. But okay, and Jesus said unto them, verily I said unto you, that ye which have followed. That's why he had to sing that song. How many are followers of Jesus Christ tonight? Then, in the regeneration, when the sons of man shall sit on the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let us pray. Father, I'm so glad that you have things under control. I mean, Brother Andy's supposed to be here, and I don't know. And Brother Doug is somewhere else. It doesn't matter, because it is you that have things already prepared. You prepare the tables. You prepare the people. You prepare whoever's going to be. You knew when, how, and where. You saw this before the foundation of the world. So I can stand in that rock that is Jesus Christ tonight, and I know that things are going to work out if I get out of the way. Because, Father, we want to give you and yield to you ourselves so you can speak to your people. You speak to our hearts. You speak to our souls, Father. Not only speak to us, Father, we want to be changed. Father, we want to be transfigured. We want to be a different person that we are right now. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be yet. Father, we thank you for bringing everybody home, saved. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And thank you, Lord, because you're still God on the throne tonight. And we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. You can be seated then for a minute or for an hour or for two. I don't know. Things are changing. And I'm here to testify to you, things are changing. Brother Brown says, the last move that we're looking for, it will not be a show. It's not a show. It's going to happen in such a simple way that most of the people will miss it. And I'm here to tell you, to testify that things are already starting to happen. But because it's not a show, I'm not trying to scare you. Don't look at me. If you are son of God, you should not be afraid. I mean, I respect God. The fear of God is in me. And that makes me shake. But it's because I don't want to do nothing wrong. But if I put my life in His hand, you know, He can take care of everything. So when Sister Joy is testifying, she didn't tell you the rest of the story. This has been happening now for two or three services now. See? God has spoke to her. Oh, man, He used my vocal cords. He told her exactly what was the problem and what the problem came and what she needed to do. I didn't know. I don't even know what's going on with them. But see, this is not the first time. This is almost the second time. Things are changing. And I'm making myself special. This is not a show. And it's going to continue happening. At least with me. I don't know about you where you are. I know with me, that kind of scares me because I don't want to do nothing wrong. You know, I will not tell somebody a word. People hang their life in God's word, and I'm the one that I'm, but I'm not the one that I'm saying it. But if I was, I'd be scared. But I'm not. You know what? I yield to God. I let myself out of the way. God, if you want to speak to anybody, and I'm, you know, you can use me, I am ready. Things are changing. This is not going to be a show. But you will know. You will know when things start changing in your life. See, my ministry is changing. I didn't ask for it. But it's changing. See? But, you know, we are the ministers. We are the models for you guys. We are the example. It has to start somewhere. Why not in me? But I'm telling you, things are changing. So let me read you what someone sent me this week or last week before we get started. This is from Brother Branham. Let's see what the message is. I'll let you know in the middle. Far as I know, Brother Branham is talking. It's not in your notes, sorry. As far as I know, that the man's in eternity today, where he was, is in eternity today. Dead, see? Now you cannot play church. You are not, You are not, let's see, I touched the screen. You are not dealing with some little pity something. This is serious business. I'm not here to scare you. If you're son of God, you don't have to be scared. You know, if you are, then you need to figure out what you need to do. You know, he says, you are talking to Almighty God. See? He said, so you got to be reverent and sincere. I was saying, you know, Paul says, make every effort, diligent, you know, to come to do what you have to do, but make an effort. God knows if you are making an effort or not. No, God knows your heart. He says, if I should stand here till this time, tomorrow afternoon, reciting instances like that, it would never, on what I have seen the Lord Jesus doing. No wonder he said, the things that I shall you and greater. I'm Brother Brandon just chopping things, but you know what the passage is. The things that he did, greater things, this is the time. Amen. We have arrived. You might sit there and you say, what are these guys talking about, this crazy Puerto Rican? You know, I can't be crazy. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone because things are changing. And it's not going to be a show. The world is going to chaos. Let me finish this. He says, talking to the church, this brother said, it is a thing, friends. We are living in the day of the Lord Jesus. Just before his return. How many of you believe that? Amen. So we should be acting like it is. We've been in this business for too long. If it was a time that these scriptures will be fulfilled, we are here now. He says, and now, many times in this thought, I do not think that I have brought many of the people of not praying for them. It is a prayer of faith shall save the sick. God says so. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you have faith, and I got faith, God is able to back up his word. But you got to be sincere, and you got to be honest, and you got to believe and touch the garment. So if you do that, God has to back up his word. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall rise them up. Not I will rise them up. God will rise them up. Just that, to start. This is not my preaching. It just started. I don't know when it started. It just started. ain't got no control of anything, and I don't want to have control of anything. I want him to have control of everything. Okay? So, with that in mind, we know that right now the world systems and all that are sinking. We know that. You can see your redemption is real close. The world system, everything is just, it cannot help but sink, because the very best that the world can offer is not stable. The very best that a man can offer is no good. Just a filthy rag. So where we're going to put our faith tonight? There are pressures, there are obstacles, there's up and down all around. See? The housing system, the banking system, the stock system, market, and everything goes up and everything goes down. We cannot even put our trust in many of our leaders and government and politicians. See? Because one day they promise this, and next day they said no, they do something different. And that promise come crashing down, you know? So where are we going to put our trust in? See? We know that. We see what's coming. I mean, look up your redemption. When all these things start happening, I don't have to go what's going on around the world. But I see this meeting with Trump and the other guy. You know, yeah, when they said peace and peace, you know how close we are? The world is finally coming to an end. And all the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. But, however, the church is also going to fulfill prophecies. And I'm telling you, this is the time that God is going to start changing things. We are coming to the end of a transition. We have been transitioning, you know, for years, 40, 20, I don't know, 50 years. But you're going to get to get close to the end of the transition. One of these days, the transition is going to end, the rapture is going to happen, and that's the end of everything. But that transition is so close to that. That brother Brown says it's not going to be a show. It's going to be so simple that most of the people in this message probably will miss it. I don't want you to miss it, because I don't want to miss it. But I'm noticing a change. The kingdom of God is built on an unfailing word of God. Never fails. Never moves. It's stable. It's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So where is your hope tonight? Now, let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know your thoughts that I think towards you. See? I'm not afraid, because God loves me. And he has good thoughts about me and about you. So let's get together and see what God has to say. It has to be good. So you don't have to be afraid. God got good thoughts tonight. Amen. He said, good thoughts of, said the Lord, thoughts of peace. So if you don't have peace, then, you know, I don't know what kind of a thoughts are you getting, but not evil. Peace. If you're still getting trouble because some little thought, then we need to find peace. Because that's not God. I mean, I get tempted every day. But I know the difference between that comes into my mind. Temptation is going to come. In fact, temptation in these days are getting worse and worse. You know why? Because the closer we get to the transformation, to the change, the more the devil is going to try to open it up. He knows it's the end. He's already lost. But not only that. You see, 20 years old, you know, 30 years old, 40, you know, I'm 60, over 60. My work is almost, I can say, you know, I'm an elder. I'm almost done. But if God's supposed to come next week, what happened to a 20-year-old? Nothing. It will be such a quick work that before you know, they're done. Because he promised it will be a quick work. So I don't care where you are. When he come, you're done. That's all it is to it. Because he promised he cannot come when, you know, the bride is not ready or someone is not ready. I'm ready. I'm just waiting for his promise. But he is a 20-year-old that if he come next week, he will do a quick work. You will see such a change. No? So start looking for changes. It's not going to be a show. Start looking for changes in your own life. Because the closer we get, this got to be changing to match that. So it has to happen. Listen, my friend, he's not going to come tomorrow and say, poop, you're done. Poof, you're done. No. The closer you get, you're going to feel the change. Because the closer you get, Eli is going to be disappearing. Something is start coming. Until poof, now I'm gone. But I'm not waiting for him to come so I be changed. If I wait, it's going to be too late. You need to experience that in this side before we go to the next side. Here is your victory. Not there. Here is your character being made. Not there. Whatever character you have when you fall, that's your take. So it has to be changed here just before the going over. But if we are that close, you're going to feel it. You're going to, if I can use the word feeling, but you're going to know something is changing. He says, and that is, I know your thoughts. It's just like saying, I know God's plans. That's his plan for me and for you, said the Lord. See? Plans to do good and not a disaster. That disaster out there, that's not for us. I'm not looking at that. That's going to happen, but that's not my clue. That's not my sign. I got another sign. I'm looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ in my flesh. Appearing is one thing. Coming is another one. He needs to appear before we can take off. We're going to be done. It's no way. It is impossible to leave this place half done, half baked, half Christian. There's no such a thing. Either complete or not complete. But I'm looking for my completion. Regression, the word regression in Matthew 19:28 means to renew. It's to change, to transform. See, regeneration means to do afresh. Something old is made new. So in the regeneration, when Jesus Christ will come back, return for that bride, that regeneration, that process of being made anew, the old is gone, it's a new, it's here, it happens before we live here. Amen. The last step to the process is to shed the skin. Amen. That is it. Right now, the world. So, Isaiah, he says in 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That is my hope. See, that is the promises that I got. That is what I'm waiting for. That is my end. That is my expectation. The salvation of my soul. The complete change. And that's what I, every day, that is what I'm waiting for. Amen. So Isaiah says, 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. You know what? I am a spoken word. You're a spoken word, and you have to, I don't care. I don't care about situations. I don't care about circumstances. What he started in me, he is going to finish it, because that is his word. It's not my word. He told me, I started something, and I will finish something. Now, that's what he wants to do. And my saying is, do unto me whatever you want to do unto me. He says, but I shall accomplish that which he pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it. He sent his word to me. And he will finish the work. It's almost there now. You might not see it because it's not going to be a show. Everything going to look just like every day. You know, this cycle. You get up, you eat, you go to sleep, you go to work. You know, but in that cycle, something is happening. I'm going to show you. So being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun the good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ, until his coming. So that's a promise. And that's what I'm going to talk in a minute about the promises of God. Because the promises of God is what changes you. The promises of God is what bring the nature, the divine nature of God into your life and transform you to His image. So let's look about this work, this plan of regeneration. Now, 1 Titus 3:6. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Wow. You know what godliness is? Basically, is to be obedient to God, to shun evil, to do what His will. Don't be arrogant. Don't be, you know, forward mouth. It says the Bible. That's what Proverbs 8:13 says. It says godliness, and also godliness. It is to have His character, because that's what He's doing. You know, He is changing me, transforming me to His own image. What is His image? His character. In fact, you are your, what you are is your character. Whatever character you have, that's what you are. That's why your character might have to be changed, because it's no good. It's a low nature. You know? We were corrupted, coming, talking, saying, lying, and saying all kind of things. My nature had to change. Why? Because it's no good. Amen. The way we came. But He's going to change that nature. But that nature means He's going to change my character. Before I used to steal, before I used to run around, before I used to do that, do the other. But that character has to change. He promised me that He will change my character. The only thing I have to do is just believe, accept Him, and let the Holy Ghost do the work. He says, without controversy. It's a mystery. You know, this mystery is not a mystery to you and me. It will be a mystery to those out there. But to you and me, it's no longer a secret. That's what a mystery is. Because he's telling all his secrets, you know, to his little bride. See? It's no secret for you and me. So, I know what he's talking about. Why? Because I can read between lines. This is a love letter. He said, God was manifest in flesh. Now, this is the mystery. God was manifested in flesh. Were his attributes manifested in flesh? Yeah, I see one there. I see one there, one there, one there, one here. Okay? So this mystery, don't leave it back there just to God and Jesus. Because it's going to happen again. He says, God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit. See? That means that the Spirit of God vindicated that He was who He was. And the Spirit of God vindicated who I am. Not me. It's the Spirit of God. Seen by angels, preached unto the Gentiles, see, all over the world. This gospel had gone. See, believe on the world by the Gentiles, received up into them, He went into glory. So, that is a nice cycle. It's a mystery. Not to me, because I started in the flesh. I am an attribute of God, started in the flesh. God started changing me, transforming me. And then the gospel is preached again. Greater things shall we do. And then taking up to what? This is going to happen again. You cannot leave this behind. It sounds good. Well, that was Jesus. But what? How? We seen Him. We talked to Him. We felt Him. We looked at Him. We poked Him. We did all kind of things. That was God in flesh. God wanted to be filled. God wanted to be touched. God becomes a man. So, Brother says, the only God that people are going to see these days is where? You. So if anybody's going to feel God and touch God and hear God, where do you think? From somewhere there? No. Right there where you're sitting. You are the God for this generation. You are the voice for this generation. It sounds like my voice when I talk to her, but it's not my voice. It's my voice. But who's talking? We keep saying, well, we are the voice of the resurrection. It won't be a show. It will happen. We will be the voice. But before you get there, you're going to know that you are who you are. He says, without no question, it's a great mystery. And our faith is in Christ. See, Christ was revealed in human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was announced in all the nations. And He was believed throughout the world and taken to heaven. Okay? So Brother Branham says this message said, yeah, God is going to take us at the end and put us on display. And then after that, see, this is who God is going to come and say, this is what I was, this is the mystery, this is what I was talking about. And the world is going to look at it and say, wow, that's what we wanted. You know, the Holy Spirit said, that's what I wanted. Okay, but go and die out for it, like we did. And then by the time they came back, what happened? The door was shut. It's too late. Once the manifestation starts, it's too late. I'm not scaring you to it. And if I do, fine. I hope I do. Then do something about it. If you are feeling uneasy with me talking the way I'm talking and I'm challenging you, then do something about it. Because if you are son of God, you will make it. You just need to make sure that you know what your election and your calling is. That's all. He says, so we're talking about regeneration. Let me tell you what the Strong says. The action or process of regenerating or being regenerated. In particular, the formation of new animals and plants and tissues. Strong says, a rebirth, a spiritual renovation, you know, new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation. See, hence, renovation, regeneration, production of new life, consecrated to God. It's a radical change of mind. Why? Because you lose your mind and you get another mind. That's radical. I mean, I want to lose my mind. You know, I want to get his mind. That's what the transformation is all about. You losing your ways, your selfish ways, your bad ways, and getting his way. I want to lose my way. In fact, that old man is dead. Eli, I don't know where he's at. I'm a new person now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. But I'm still here, and I'm still going through my process. This is not something that happened overnight. It's a process. And I'm going to show you why. Says, radical means relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something. So God is causing my nature to change. See? That's radical. See? Something. He's forming something from the inside to the outside. See, changing my nature. Now, the word often used to denote the restoration of a thing to his pristine state. See, we fell there, but we're going to be restored to before that. See, and that's what insurance company do. See, they restore your car just before the accident. If you had bad seats, they're not going to repair them. If they were bad before the accident, but they will bring. So before that fall, we're going to be restored to that point. He says, so I was talking about the process. The process has four stages, if we count salvation. Man, I'm sweating for the first time. It's humid or what? Oh, I'm nervous. So, there's four stages to this process of regeneration. The first one, it is salvation, if we can count that as number one. But salvation includes justification, you know, it's the work of salvation. But let's not count salvation, but it is part of it. It's justification, sanctification, and born again. You can be born again, but that's not what stops. It's essential to you to be born again in order to get some instructions and to be changed. That is a work of the Holy Ghost or God in my life. So once we are changed, then we become the person of the Holy Ghost, that is Jesus Christ. See, let's not stop too short. We are going to become him in flesh again. He says, so that is the stage. Salvation is the first step. You know, I was telling the people that that is the same stages that creation goes through. God, whatever you see, Brother Branham was a typologist. So whatever he saw there, you know, he typed it to one, to the spiritual things in the natural. And I was telling them about the butterfly. It has four stages. The egg, you know, is the first one. And then the caterpillar. And then they come to adult. That is a reproduction, again, of mama butterfly. And we go the same way. We started the same way. God put an egg in Mary. And that's how everything starts. That's what I told the people. That's what Easter came from, with this egg business. Because that's spring, the beginning of life. Start with an egg. I told him, I don't know where the bunny came from, but the egg I know. Bunnies don't put eggs. Salvation. So the first is the egg. God put in us, call it an egg, a seed. See? And that's where everything starts. When salvation starts and he comes around, you know, and that light strike that seed, what happens? Life. An egg is the same thing. When it gets germatized, it's life. But once that life comes out, then justification is the feeding stage. Now you come to church, now you're happy, now you are receiving, now you're taking. You want to know more about the one that saved you. You know. So that is the feeding stage, the step. And then you keep growing and you keep growing and you keep growing. Then sanctification is the cleansing. See, that's what the word will do. It take you from the muddy clay and then start to save you and then start cleaning you. The word cleans you. That's the water, the cleansing water. But it's cleaning you for a reason, to put you in service. So it's not to clean you just so you can look good or I can look good. God has a purpose for you, and you must find what is the purpose of God. See? Then the Holy Ghost, which is a transition step. See, he's the mentor. He's our teacher. And he's going to take you, you know, after you are cleansed and sanctified and ready for service, he takes you and starts the transferring process to take you from where you used to be to where you supposed to be, according to the word. So the transition, the Holy Spirit, you come to church, and through the word of promise is what is going to give you life. See, there's life in the word. And the Holy Ghost will bring that life to, you know, manifestation in you and me. The transition. Every time you come to church and you hear more and more, so you start growing and you start growing. Finally, you get to the point where you start getting where you're supposed to be. What? You're supposed to be him. See? The image that he had in the beginning, the form, was his own form, Jesus Christ. So, then you get the Holy Ghost, but it comes, the last part is the adult stage. The adult stage is the reproduction. Now, what started before the egg, now it's being reproduced again. And it's a cycle. And it's a cycle. You know, everything goes through cycles. You and I are going through cycles, but this is the last cycle. You know why? Because we don't have to go back down to repeat the cycle. This is the time to go up. The cycle ends tonight. The cycle ends here. You and I, we are going up and not down. We don't have to go down and die again and come back again. This is the end. That's what I'm saying. And yeah, the seed went down in the ground, got rotten. The blades came out, the tassel, the fruit is on the vine. There's no more place to go but up. We are not going down. This is the end of the journey. This is the end of the regeneration plan of God. That's what he wanted. You know what God wanted? To reproduce himself. From the beginning he had attributes. And he put one on you, one on you, one on you. He gave us by measurement. And now he needs to, that attributes to come to a full maturity, perfection. That means he reproduced himself in you again. It's not going to be a choice. It's going to happen. There's not going to be people running around. Look at me. Hey, I'm here. No. It's not going to be a show. You know, if it was a time that we need to come to church, it's now. People don't understand. Some people don't understand what's going on in church. Because they don't understand what God supernaturally is doing in church. God is reproducing himself. And if God puts you here, he needs you here for that process. But some people, they don't get it. I don't know why, Brother Dodge, because everything that we have need to finish is here. You can go to other churches and run up and down, but you know it's not going to be the same, because if this is the church, God is taking this church's body in order to produce that, the gift and everything that is put in this church is for your own benefit, to bring you to maturity. And you can run around trying to find that, and you might find a good pastor, you find a good church, but you're going to have to start all over again. Because nobody's going to trust you, and you're going to trust nobody until you make a good rapport with people. I can go to Ohio and visit Brother Paul, and I will sit down there, and they don't know me, and I don't know them. I don't know where the gifts are. I don't know who is the minister that prays. I don't know anything. And they might have the church, and people go in, and they get prayed, and I'm just sitting there. I don't know who to trust. I don't know who is who. I mean, of course, the body of Christ here, the body of Christ there. But I'm saying you have to have a report. I know most of you guys for years and years, and you know me. So the more we know each other, you know what happens? The more we love each other, right? Well, that's what the Bible said. The more you know God, right? And what is God? So the more you know me, you start understanding, you know, what is going on. Hopefully, that's why we don't need to meet church, because God is doing something. Every service, God is doing something. I cannot show it to you because it's not a show, but he's doing something in each one of your life. And God is using each one of us, the ministry, to do that. You know, I told my wife, you know, I'm done. I already retired from my profession. You know, I was working an engineer with Raytheon and some of the companies. Honeywell, I'm retired about now 10 years almost. And my wife is talking about, you know, getting in another kind of career, you know, the job. I said, I'm done. I'm old. I don't have the energy. I don't have the effort to put in another career. I'm done. I already did my thing. You guys do it. You are the one going up. Then you got the energy and you got the looks and you got everything you need to. I am done. But I will help you. If you have something going on, I'll help you. That's what I want you. I want to put my service to, you know, I want to help the bride. But I'm already almost there. See? I'm still here, but I'm further along than most of you guys. You know, if life is 70, next year I'm 70. That's it. That's just numbers. But anyway, my dad lived 96. My mom is 98. That's just numbers. But according to the Bible, 70. So I'm going to go in a borrow time after next year. And whatever he gives me, I take. Maybe another 20 years, I don't know. But whatever he gives me, he will finish the work he started in me. Because when it's finished, I leave. Either by death, or either he comes before that. That's what I don't worry when people get sick. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry when you get sick. Because if he's not done with you yet, nothing is going to take you. The devil cannot take you from his hand until he gets done. Because God has to allow that. If Satan wants to do something, he has to ask permission. So you don't have to worry about it. Now, if what you got is, you know, you're going to die, then fine. God will tell you the same thing. My dad, before he died, you know, I didn't know how to pray for my dad when I got home. He was still in conscious in the hospital. But I asked my mom, what happened last week? Oh, your dad was so nice and so good. He was eating. He was singing. And he kept singing. I'm going home. I said, Manuel, where do you think you're going? He said, I'm going home. My mom didn't understand what's going on. My dad is, you know, God is preparing. If that happens, it happens. It's time to go. And I said, what happened? What else? Well, he was praying one night and he sure surprised me. What a prayer. He was talking to God and asking God to help him, you know, to help him through this, to that time, you know, to help him to get through and his will be done. I said, of course, Jesus did the same thing. See, my dad was making preparations. He knew that was his end. God would not take you and surprise you. If it is, it is. He will be there.
to take you across. Those angels will pack you. It will not be a surprise for Christian. See? So that when I went to the hospital, my dad is still unconscious, but I know he can hear me. So I said, Dad, you know, you fought a good fight. You know? I mean, it's time to hang up your weapons. It's time to go to your promised rest. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about Mom. We take care of her. Go ahead. You can leave. 3 days later, he died. See? I knew how to pray now. I knew what to say. Why? Because now I knew what was in my dad mind. I didn't know until I asked my mom. It's the same thing with you. Somebody gets sick. If he's for death, ask him. They will tell you. Ask him how you wanted me to pray for you. They know if they're ready or not. And if they're not, then ask him what the problem is and pray for that. That God will restore him. But either way, until God gets ready, nobody leaves this place. And when he's ready, either death, the door of death, or his coming, will be ready. So, salvation. Titus 3:5 says, not by work of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. The word is regenerating me. It's renewing me afresh. Every time I come to church, every time I come and I hear the word, I get a little higher and a little higher and a little higher until I'm going to do like, you know, what was his name? Enoch? No, not Enoch. It was Enoch? Disappear? Okay. One of these days, if he don't come, I'm just going to take a walk. See, because that word of God is working mightily in me. You might don't see it. It's not a show, but it's changing me. I know it's changing me. Inside, I know it's changing me. I'm so sure that I'm scared because I don't want to do nothing and say nothing. Now I'm walking a little bit more careful what I'm thinking and what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Why? Because I know that it's that close. And if God is that close, I want to be right. I want to think right, and I want to do right. You know? And that is only part that scares me. I don't want to disappoint God. See? So I have to do the best effort that I to do what's right, think what's right, and do what's right. And things will turn out right. That's what Brother Brown says. It's a quote. So, and we talked about Romans 12. Verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body in a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. And then if you're going to come to church, make sure you're alive and well. Okay? You are living stones. You are not dead stones. Okay? Paul says living sacrifice. Because he says, I'm dead now. See? I'm crucified with him in the cross, he says. But nevertheless, I'm dead, but I don't live any longer. But he is the one that is living in me. So this life that I live by faith, by the Son of God, the life that I'm living and I'm walking and I'm moving is by faith, by the hope that is in me. Not my life. My life, I tried it. It's not good. I got in all kind of troubles. But see, now it is his mind. It is his spirit that lead me. See? So Paul says, that is the sacrifice. When you come to church, make a sacrifice. See? Of your what? Your lips. Not only that, but your entire body. God don't want half, and God don't want only your hand to do something, or your mind to think something, or your mouth to speak something. God wants your whole body. Because that is where the shell, that's the egg. And inside there, God is reproducing himself in you. You know that you are the egg, that you are the one that to shoot nature, the word, and water the word, and worship God. So that they start pushing up, pushing up, pushing up, until we start acting like him. But see, that is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. He says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. See, there's people that will conform, but there's people that are going to be transformed. See? By the renewing of your mind. See, we are getting another mind. We're getting another thought. See? That you may prove that is what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I told the people Cain had a chance, but he wanted to conform. You know, God says to Cain, Cain, I can help you. I mean, I know you don't have any understanding, revelation, but I can accept you. Only thing you have to do is just conform. Conforming means do accordance to what he done. And some of us, we come to church, and I'm not saying it's here, maybe somewhere, we are conformers. We just follow, you know, we check a box, and I came, and I did whatever message believers do. That is conforming. We are not conformers. We want to be transformed. Cain says, no. I go back to, see, I'm going to conform. I'm not going to conform to that. See, I'm not going to change to that. I'm not going to be transformed to be doing that. He said, if you just do it, conform to that, I will accept you. The rich ruler, he came to Jesus and says, Jesus, how can I get eternal life? He says, do this, do this, do this, sell everything you got, and follow me. And he got sad. Why? Because he wanted to conform to the law. But I have done all these things since my youth. And he says, he got so sad, he said, I just go back and do that. A book of ethics, what to do, what not to do. There's no leadership in there, but that's all right. There will be some people that they're going to have to conform, and they will have eternal life later on. That is fine. But you and I are not conformers. Because when the rapture happens, the conformers are staying. Because the conformers only can go so far with conforming. I was in the army. I conformed from 10 years, Brother Cabo. They told me to drop. I dropped. I didn't think about it because I wanted to have a good, you know, army career. And if I don't do what they tell me to do, what happened, Brother Joseph? They kick you out. Article 15. So they sent me to the army and I had to conform. But see, I don't have to conform here. I want to be transformed. But there's some conformers. I hope there's no conformers in here. Amen. Now, talking about the regeneration, and the last stage is the adulthood, and that is the exact reproduction of what started at the beginning. We were in his mind, and they said reproduction is going to be all the way to the end. It's going to be him again. It has to. The heavens, the earth, everything declares this a cycle. See, reproduction goes down and reproduces itself again. The same thing that went down, greater things happens. It's a law. Jesus said in the Old Testament, in Genesis, he said, every tree shall bring of its own kind that is in that seed. All the instructions for that tree, how tall, how big, how many leaves, how many fruits, how many life cycle, it's all in that seed, all that information. And you know, that seed that God put in you has all the information required to change you. And the Holy Ghost is what you need and I need to take you from here to eternal life. He is going to help you change. He's going to mentor you. He's going to help you. So, let's look at the divine nature of God, that is his character. You know, he's pure. He's holy. He's a healer, you know. He's good. Now let's go to 2 Peter and look at that right quick. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, 2 Peter 1:1-5, to them that have obtained life, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. 2, grace and peace multiply unto you through the knowledge of God. That's the only way you can have peace, by knowing him. See? It says, and Jesus, our Lord, according to his divine power, 3, that's the Holy Ghost, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that had to do with his character, everything that had to do with who he is, he has given us that in the Holy Ghost. That is the power that is going to transform you and me. It says, and life. Why? Because the word is life. and godliness through the knowledge. No? We have to have the right word. The wrong word will not produce God. It has to be the right knowledge, and the only source of knowledge is Him. That's why you have to have a church where you have a pastor and you have a ministry that will preach the word, the gospel, because that is the only way you're going to be reproduced. That is the only way the Holy Ghost can work with His word, pure, unadulterated word. So make sure you find your place that the word of God is preached. And I'm going to tell you right now, the word is being preached in this place. And you know what I know? Because I'm changing. I'm not the one that used to be 10 years when I came here. See, when I came here 10 years ago, I noticed now it's a different story. I would not do what I did 10 years ago. And I know that. Because now I'm more wise. Amen. The things that I did 10 years ago, not bad things, good things, I will not repeat now because I'm wiser. I know better now. You know, I got the wisdom of God right behind me. The instructions all these years. I will not repeat that, even though it was a good thing, but that was then. Now I got a little bit more wisdom. According, it says, grace and peace is according to the divine power, that's the Holy Ghost, see, to give us all things, not just some, all things that pertain to life and godliness throughout the knowledge. Now, Peter 4 said, whereby we are giving unto us exceedingly and great precious promises. The word, okay? For what? That by this you might partake what? Of the divine, the character of God. That is His nature, His character. The only way you can participate of His character and be changed to His character is to have the word of God and the Holy Ghost. See? Because that is what's going to happen. The promise that by this you might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See? The more Him, the less of me. So I'm escaping me. I'm escaping my flesh. The more I know Him, the less I want the things of the world. I don't want to conform to the world. But the more I get of Him, the more I can stay, more power to stay away, more word, more power, growing up, maturing. I don't do the things that I used to do when I was a child, like Paul said. I'm grown now. I leave those things behind. Why? Because I'm grown. And I have more understanding, and I know more things. I learn. The same thing with the word. I cannot go back to that. Why? Because that was behind. Now, it's a new thing coming on. It's maturity. It says, exceeding and great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. 5, and beside this, giving diligence. Now, this is what was so neat. Peter is not only going to tell you how, about the divine promises, but he's going to tell you how these divine promises, how this character can be formed in you. If you follow the context, he's going to tell you how can you, you know, apply these things to your life. He says, besides this, giving all diligence, see, make an effort. To respond to me? No. To respond to love divine? No. To respond to God. Amen. He knows your heart. Amen. You can tell me whatever you want to, but we have to make an effort. Be sincere and honest to respond to God. He knows your heart anyway. You ain't going to put one on Him, a fast one. Make an effort to respond to God's promises. See? Have the right mental attitude. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtues, it's the dynamics, you know. See, you can have faith, but if you don't have no action, you got no dynamics. Faith looks good and your car looks good, but there's no spark, then what? So you have to have faith, but virtue is the power, you know, it's the supernatural, the manifestation of your faith. When Jesus was walking and a little sister went and touched Him, what happened? What went out of him, virtue, what is power? It was power in Him, and it's power in us. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And we can help somebody else just like Jesus did. Why? If we are right and do right, things will come out right. People will look for you. See your life and your manner of way and conversation, and they say, I need some help. That happens to me, not that I'm special. I had a friend at work. His wife had cancer. And I knew him, And I didn't say nothing because, you know, I'm waiting for God to do his work. Because I don't know if this is to death or this is for something else. I don't know what God is doing. He's not a Christian. I don't know. So I left it alone. So I told God, God, if you want me to talk to him, let him ask me. And he did. He came out of the elevator. I was going in the elevator. He says, I know you and I've been watching you and I know you're a Christian. Can you play for, go and pray for my wife? She got cancer. I said, we do. We went. She got healed in a week and she was out of the hospital. She had cancerous tumors all over the blood. She had a baby. You know how when women have baby, the physiology of the body changes and releases all kind of. She has tumors. The doctor says, I can do, we can promise you, assure you, but we can do 70%, but you're going to have to live with the other 30%. We can kind of hope we can keep it down, but that's all I can promise you. We pray for her. And I went to visit her again in the midweek. I went on the weekend, and I went with her. I went with my friend, too. And she got out of the hospital. I went to the doctor. The first chemotherapy they gave her, the first one, the doctor did a check about the counts, because they do a count. And he says, it's gone. And the doctor says, I don't know what happened, but I know what happened. The same God yesterday is the same God today, and it will be the same God tomorrow. Now, that experience wasn't for her. I was just studying in the message. That experience was for me. Since then, all the experiences that I have with God is building me up, building me up, building me up. And now he's building me up some more. He says, so faith without action, faith without virtue is nothing, it's dead. Like James says, see? Faith without work is dead. So if you have faith, then show me your virtue, show me your work. Well, I am a Christian and I got faith. Well, where are you when I need you? Where are you when we need you? It's easy. For we are God's masterpiece, see? And he created us for good works. See, he already had this plan before the beginning of the world. Peter 1:6. Then add to the knowledge temperance. You know what temperance is? Self-control. So here Peter is saying, you start with faith, and that faith is of God. It's not your faith. That victory is not yours. The victory is God, is Jesus' faith. That is your victory. In fact, you cannot even be saved unless he gave you the faith to be saved. It's not of you. See, it is of God. God gave you the faith you needed to believe him. Amazing, you know. It's all him. So once you have your faith, now you start walking. He start testing, and you start seeing things. Now you got to be tested. So now when you're a little child, you start like a little child, and you start, and you're seeing fruits, and you're seeing things happening. But then the next step is what? Temperance. What is temperance? Knowledge is the next one. I already said that. That's the word of God. That's the knowledge. You come to church. You keep growing. You keep getting the word. There's only one source of knowledge. But the next thing is temperance. Okay? So that means you start with your faith. You start acting up on your faith. The faith says, my faith says this, and I do that. God said this, I do it. The next thing, you get more knowledge, and you get a revelation, and your faith grows. Then you get more knowledge, you get a revelation, and your faith grows, and you start doing more, and you start acting more, and you're manifesting more. So the next thing is self-control. If we want the nature of God, we're going to have to control the flesh. I'm not controlling your flesh. I got enough problem with mine. So the next step is, after you go through your test, is control your flesh. How? Easy, because the next step is godliness. I think it is. Let me see. Patience. See, it's patient then. I don't miss patience. That's an important one. So first thing is to make the right choices. When you get tempted, have self-control. See, that control only comes from the Holy Ghost. See, the Bible says you have to choose his will. That is self-control. See, it is easy for us to choose our will. But Jesus says, my will. That's self-control. Yeah, when you go to the pigerias that I call, you know, those buffet places, don't make a pig out of yourself. You have to have some self-control. You know, get the first plate and went 20 minutes, because in 20 minutes the synagogue will go out to your brain saying, I'm full. But some people like me, I will like to have three plates before the synagogue goes up to my brain, because I want to save my money. The more I eat, the more I save, right? But we have to have self-control, you know? Even when we go to those places. See, you're going to be hurt. So temperance is self-control. You know, this is the part where you either choose the flesh or you choose His will. See? And that depends on your faith, on your knowledge that you have. I mean, your revelation, God is going to test you. He's going to have to test you. And this is a cycle. And this is not going to end the day He saved you. This is until you get out of here. So He will test you, and He will test you. And then you get more knowledge, and He will test you. And then your faith grows, and then you manifest more, and then and then you have more self-control, until you go to patience. And patience says, I have patience. Patience is endurance. See? Abraham waited patiently and received what God has promised. See? James 1, 3, and 4 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Why? Because we are impatient people. We want it when? Now, yesterday. But with God, you have to have patience, because He's going to do it at the right time, in the right place, at the right season. And you don't know that. So you have to have patience, because in your patience, you will have your victory. He says, but let patience have a perfect work. That is some of our problem. We are impatient people. That's why we just are not stable. Why? Because I want it, and I want it now. But it's not happening. Well, Rome didn't take a day to be made. It took time. So, we are impatient by nature. We are impatient. But it says, have perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I like that. Because I know that the people that want something, that they still want something, because they never get it in the first time. If you are impatient and I'm impatient, you know what happened? What you're going to get is not going to satisfy you. So you're going to be wanting. So next got to be the next guy that come to preach. Maybe he prayed for me. No, it didn't happen. Impatient. So maybe the next guy. Oh, how many guys is it going to take? The first guy was sufficient if you would believe. And be patient. Because healing is not a miracle. That takes time. And that is His time. The blind guy went a whole week blind. If he would have been patient, the first day he would have said, you know what? I'm done with this. He will never get his healing. But if you believe and you have faith and it is done, there's no more to question. I don't care what people tell and look at you. They don't tell me who I am. I get it in a minute. But people, whatever they said and whatever they do, have nothing to do with me. That's it. I'm looking for a word. What is the word? I talked to you about that word before, last Sunday. When I pray for you, I used it many, you know, two or three times. They don't identify you. They don't. Okay, forget it. I get it. In a minute. So, He said, but patient, let it have the work and wanting nothing. So once you are praying, once you have faith, and God will do the perfect work in you, and you believe that, there's, you don't have no need of anything else. How many people do you have need to pray for you? The first one was sufficient for me. You know, so our brother Doug says, sometimes people come back for the same thing, and the same thing what happened the first time. Impatient. But Titus, Timothy 2:1-2 says, but speak thou the things which come from a sound doctrine. They're telling him to preach a sound doctrine, that the aged man, I'm aged to perfection, that the aged man be sober, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. See, I'm almost getting up there because I'm older, and I'll be around. I mean, you cannot expect this kid to act the way I act. They had to go through what I went through. It's the same plan for them. So the next thing is godliness, patience. Then the next thing, you wait for your promise. The next thing is godliness. Why? Because now you got self-control. Now you decide to choose His word, decide to be patient, and now God give you character. Every time you go that route, Peter is saying, now you do, you choose the right thing, do the right thing. The next thing, you get a little piece of His character. So, you know, here come God and said, the Holy Ghost is the mentor, and He said, hey, how's my boy doing? Oh, man. You should be proud of your boy. You should see what he did. I mean, all the time this week, he chose you. He could have chose the flesh. He could have chose whatever he wanted to, but he chose you. So he's growing. I mean, every time you do that, you get a little bit of more character. Okay, keep working. So it comes the day that he's going to come, and he said, how is he doing? Oh, you won't believe this. He's done. He got your character. He looks like a block of the whole ship. In fact, my, just give him the checkbook. He can run your business now. See, that is what I want, but only until we get to having His character. And how you get that? You go through this cycle. And then you get to temper and self-control. You choose Him all the time. When the temptation comes, this escape. Godliness, obedience to God, or the flesh. That's the only two choices. There's a promise. You can escape that. And every time you escape, you get a little bit more. A little bit more character. And you know that particular test don't come back again because you got character. There's no to test you more than any. You're honest. You had a chance to steal and you get the money back. They won't test you again. Satan said, that didn't work. Let's do something else. And you keep growing. And you keep growing. And then you started having the character of God. Now, I'm almost finished now, hopefully. What is the next step? Brotherly love. If you really, really, really are growing and your character is growing, you will have no choice but to love your brother. Because God is love. And the character that you're getting is love. So how cannot you love the fellowship? The mystery of the fellowship, it is we all the same. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile. We all one to God. So we start forgiving our brothers or our enemy. Then we start acting right, being sincere with our brothers. Now we're not hiding something behind a mask, behind a pretension. We're not pretending. What you see is what you get. See? Now we're getting in character. See, now we're getting in brotherly love. If you don't have godliness, if you don't have the character of God, character is what God is looking for. And if without character, you will not have fellowship with the brother. Sometimes we think, well, I love God, I should love my brother. It's the other way around. If the love of God is in you, you should be able to love your brother. Period. So, what is the last thing then in this process? Love divine, charity. You are not going to be capped. I'm not going to be capped until brotherly love is in place. So you see how important it is for you to love your brother sincerely and honest? If you love God, you should love your brother. Because until, Peter is saying, until that happens, you cannot be cap with love divine. You will not have the perfect love of God. How can you have your perfect love of God? How can I have it when I don't love my brother? That is not a capping thing. But God knows your heart. And if you've grown in character, the next stage step is that I love you. See? I will forgive you. See, I will not offend you with word or deed. You know, that's you're getting to have character now. I love you so much that I prefer you before me. There's no more selfishness. Well, I was kind of selfish today. I was hoping Andy's supposed to preach, not me. I prefer him or dog. But anyway, I'm here. Now you're getting in some good stuff, and I'm done. So ready now, I have to conclude. So, but this divine power that God has given us, you know, all His promises, you know, so we can live godly. That's all it is, to live like Him. See? We have received all these promises, and the one who called us will finish the work that He started in us. So, we need to be ready to follow Him. For just we started with the Son. Follow me. Let's start with just following. It's, the Bible says in Matthew, I think it's Luke 9 or 23 anyway. It says, if anyone wants to follow me, what it says to do? First, take up your cross. Kill yourself every day. This is not a one instant that you did it 40 years ago. This is every day. You got to die to your selfish ideas. Die to yourself. Take up your cross. And then what? Follow me. See? You cannot follow God unless you are out of the way. Completely. I fail and I'm, you know, and I ask God forgive me. I don't want to be in the way. See, we need to ready to follow Him and forsake all things to follow Him. Forsake our minds and take in His mind. And I encourage you guys to make that choice. That is life. That is the choice. That's life. Choose life or choose what? Death. Every time we make the right decision and we do the right things, we are choosing godliness. We are choosing life and godliness. And we are growing. He says, we got to step into His atrium with thanksgiving and praise for what He has done, He's doing, and He will do for us. Amen. Because He will give us our expected end. What is my expected end? A change of body. My salvation. My soul. See? Saved. So let Him have His way tonight and begin yielding to the Holy Ghost within the that He will guide you, lead you, and show you all things that are to come. See? He will show you what is good, what is perfect, and what is the acceptable will of God. You cannot fail. This is foolproof. You can stand. The system, the world system, do not work. My mind do not work. It never did. Everything around me was sinking. Chaos. And still today. Until I came to a higher way. And that was God's way. The kingdom of God. Which without the Holy Ghost, no one can understand. And no one can see it. See? That was Jesus' first doctrine. I'm glad that He's going to finish His work that He started in me. And I had nothing to do with that. He called me. See? I believed in that election before the foundation of the world. He called me. He elected me before the foundation. And I believe it. I'm dumb enough to believe it. Why? Because I see His mighty work in this body. If He wasn't here, I would never be here with you guys. I'd be someplace else. Worse situation, but if it wasn't for His Holy Ghost, when He saved me, He did save me. And I'm a proof that God still lives and God is still working in lives today. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You tonight. We appreciate You, Lord. And I know some of this stuff I said on Sunday, some things was old and some things were new and some things were the same. But God, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we have to hear things twice. And I didn't do it because I want people to hear things twice. I think there were some loose ends that I'm not a good preacher. I ain't got so many loose ends and some things that I didn't say that I should have said. And tonight God gave me an opportunity to go back and wrap these things up with a nice little bow, and that's it. See, I was wondering if I would have a chance to ever do this, and I did. And God is the one that is in control of all the situations and circumstances. And some of the people that weren't here needed to hear that. I don't know what You had in mind, Lord, but whatever it is, it's good. And You are good, God. And You are changeable. You change not. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today, tonight, here, Love Divine 2901, you're still God, and you're here right now in the form of the Holy Ghost. Your presence is here. So, Father, whatever we have need of, we can draw from you right now. I have an account. I got a check. I will draw. Because I believe. I believe. We are believers, Lord. We are not conforming. We want to be transformed. We want to be changed. Father, and that desire don't come from me. You put that in me. And I'm so glad, Lord, because if it was up to me, I would have messed it up by now. But I'm glad that you put all the desire to follow you, to love you, to fall in love with you, to respond to you and say yes, yes, I say yes to your word, to your plan. Thank you, Lord, because it is all you. Without you, none of this will be possible. It was your mercy. It's not because I wanted to or because I wanted. It is because you have mercy on whatever you want to have mercy. And I am so glad tonight that you have mercy upon me, Lord. And you save me. And you clean me. And you fill me. And you are going to reproduce yourself in me. I love you, Lord. We love you. And tonight, Father, meet every need in every heart. And again, Father, have your way. Whatever you want to do, have your way. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.